whatnot.
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Brian Chubb, how are you? I understand you are in the service.
No, I'm
wardrobe.
I'm playing a sailor in 1940.
Oh, you're not really?
No, I'm not.
I have the wrong info here. Well, anyway, you look more like a baseball player to me. Do you like baseball?
Not really, no.
Really? I got to take you out to the ballpark sometime. You know what's great today in the ballpark? They may have signs. Make some noise.
Yeah.
Let's hear it. And a lot of times when I'm at a ball game, I'm not concentrating because I'm aware of people either looking at me or not looking at me, and I'm constantly telling people. And I lose track of the game, so when I say, make some noise, I say it's time to do that. They should have that in the movies, too. Make some noise. Shed some tears. Laugh here.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
One more there, maybe.
Oh, you guys like to tell jokes and giggle and kid around, huh? Giggling like a bunch of young bros in the schoolyard.
Aficionados of Tinkle Erotica. Don and Mike.
Yeah. We like Tinkle Erotica.
Oh, there's nothing quite like it. And unfortunately, it was really with us for a very brief period of time.
Too brief.
I know that we just did the Elvis is Still Dead show.
For
Buzz,
my money.
Would you like
you
us
know,
to?
You know, sometimes he can say two little one-syllable words, uh-huh. and it makes me too brief.
That's right.
He's done it twice now today. The first was when Rob was talking about how great right. it is to be alone, and Buzz said something like,
"He just it's almost like
it must be, or tell me about it.
What's it like?
It's almost like Buzz comes in from the mailroom, and you're having a meeting, and he just leans in the door and just says, "What about me?" And then keeps going.
That's right.
Right down the. And he did that just then.
That's exactly what.
You're I'm like doing. A laughing head, opening up that little Ruth Buzzy door.
I like
door
that.
Jokes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So we did the Elvis show, the Elvis is Still Dead show, just last week. Yet he's still in the news, and please bear with me if you've heard the first part of the story. The second part is just cross the wire, and Buzz, I am breaking the rule. Because this is news.
Okay, yeah. This is Elvis news.
A handgun owned by Elvis was stolen from a museum as fans converged on Memphis. The black 9mm Smith & Wesson was taken Tuesday from a display case in the Elvis After Dark Museum.
I ought to get something good for this.
The video camera caught a man removing the pistol from the display case at midnight.
Midnight.
Now there's a follow-up.
Oh. He took it at midnight.
Later.
A handgun stolen from an exhibit during last week's commemoration of Elvis's death has been recovered.
Yay.
Video showed a man reaching into his display case in the Elvis After Dark exhibit at Graceland, removing a black 9mm Smith & Wesson.
At midnight.
Travis Brookins turned the gun over to police Monday.
Travis Edlin?
Travis Brookins.
Oh.
Turned the gun over Monday after the theft was reported. The man said he was cleaning portable toilets behind the Elvis Hall Thursday when he found the gun in the excremental muck. Unaware that the weapon had been stolen, he took it home and cleaned it.
Ah! That's the grossest part of the story.
He called us and said he thinks he has the gun, said Memphis Police Lieutenant Gwynn. He said he believes the thief may have accidentally dropped the gun into the portable toilet.
Hey!
Of course, whoever dropped it would not go in there after it. Elvis died on August 16, 1977.
On a toilet.
On the toilet. You got a gun dropped in the porta potty, uh-huh. and Elvis died on the toilet. Coincidence?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
I would have reached.
You would have reached down there to get it?
Yeah.
Collect it.
The stupidest thing about that story, though, is, you know, Graceland didn't even know that the gun was missing until people said, why is that case open with nothing in it?
Right. Yeah, you would have reached down, gotten the gun, and then you would have straightened out the porta potty.
That's right.
You would have straightened it.
Hello,
just
Don,
a quick brushing.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, Mike O'Meara. This call is for you.
Yes, I'm here.
How are you doing on your diet, man? Why don't you just try the cabbage diet? And tell us how much you weigh for chance, will you, please?
I'm not going to do any such thing as long as you're speaking in that phony accent that actually amused me for a moment, but now I'm not amused at the content of this call.
Yesterday, when we were talking about your diet, though, you mentioned you had to quit after 6 days, but I don't think you told us why you quit.
I quit because it make me feel bad, and I go back on the Weight Watchers, where I can eat the foods I like. What I had the problems with is eating that egg every day. Egg. His son of bitch tells me to take egg. So,
mayo diet.
I quit the diet straight up.
It take the eggs away.
All day long, you eat the fruits and eggs. Fruits and eggs. My poop. It was bad stuff. Toxic. It don't look good. It don't feel good when it come out.
You feeling okay, Mikey? I got fried eggs, scrambled eggs. I can keep making eggs for you all night long.
You got to be the other guy. You got to be the bad guy.
What are you waiting for? No. He beat me. He got better diet than I do. Straight up.
Straight up.
Yeah, that man, yes, manny.
One of the greatest movies of all time, mm-hmm. Rounders.
Not nearly enough credit. It never got the credit it
deserved. Matt Damon and really Ed Norton in that is outstanding.
And John Malkovich.
Yeah. I was reading that Ed Norton is going to be the next Incredible Hulk, which I'm okay with because, again, in the comics, the real Bruce Banner. I'm sorry,
I'm
Mike.
Sorry about that reaction, but I was like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, I do have a Jesus Christ one for
okay.
you. Because I can see that in the comics, Bruce Baxter was kind of a scrawny guy, like maybe Ed Norton was.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Bixby did that, yeah.
And then you've got Robert Downey Jr., who's going to, I think, be a very outstanding Iron Man. Mm-hmm. However, the one that they're throwing out now is Seth Rogen, you know, the fat guy that was in the 40-Year-Old Virgin.
He's in the recent
knocked
movie.
And Superbad.
Superbad.
He allegedly is going to be the Green Hornet. Now, I got nothing against fat guys getting ahead. I'm a fat guy. Mike's a fat guy. Rob's a fat guy. But you don't see us wearing superhero suits.
No, and the Green Hornet. The Green Hornet should be Hugh Jackman.
And the Green Hornet wore like a London Fog raincoat,
but a really trim. I remember the Green Hornet being a slim trim guy. I mean, as I said, a Hugh Jackman type guy. I think it ought to be. He would
you
be a good.
Always
Green
think it's Hugh Jackman.
No, I do. Well, I like the last name, Hugh Jackman. Jackman.
Huge Jackman.
You know, and can I tell you one show you do not want to watch on television?
What is that?
Risk Takers. Risk Takers. You know, do you watch the HD programming that we get, right? I know where they put all that crap on there.
On like Discovery High Def?
You know, and then you Discovery History Channel. They've got one about trucks that cross the ice. I am so tired of all of these shows, like Risk Takers. They got a photographer that's on the top of a mountain with a telephoto lens taking a picture of a grizzly bear. And he is a quote-unquote risk taker because there's a chance that he could fall off the mountain and be mauled by the grizzly bear.
That's
okay,
right.
There's a better chance of me falling into my own toilet than this guy having this happen. But the whole time, you know what the show is? I'm listening to this narration of this guy telling us how super scary dangerous his job is and why he's such an incredible risk taker. And I was just, you know, the only way these shows where the trucks are driving across the ice and they could go through the ice, or the guy's taking the telephoto lens of the grizzly bear and he's going to get killed. The only way that those shows improve, as far as I'm concerned, is if something happens and they show it on TV. I want to see the guy get eaten by, then I'm watching Risk Takers.
Like, for instance, a commercial that I believe is true, I think it's for the Toyota Tundra, where they show a truck actually, and they make it hang off the edge of a cliff.
It's Land Rover.
I don't know what it is, Mike, but they have
it's where you see that washed out road.
Yeah. They've got a. This is one where they show how much the truck can actually pull.
Oh, okay, that is Toyota then. Okay, right.
And anyway, it's got a big ass weight on the side of it, and it's like out on the edge of an oil crane almost.
Right.
And it's at a precarious level, hanging over a cliff. And if the truck doesn't pull the weight,
right?
Guess what? The truck goes over the edge, and everybody dies.
Mm-hmm.
Now they run at the bottom of this thing a disclaimer saying, you know, this is real. Don't try this at home.
Do not try this at home.
I dig that. That's a risk to me.
Yeah, to me, it's not a risk.
Even though it's a commercial.
Do you know, it really, it reminds me, it made me think, actually, of a guy we used to work with. Real old guy. His name escapes me right now. Might have been bald. Wore a Speedo bathing suit. You know, yap about how dangerous and how tough and how scary and all that.
Oh, G. Gordon Liddy.
Oh, that's the name.
That's
it.
That's right.
when there's really nothing there.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just, I hate, and there's so many of these shows now. There's
Brother Michael. Brother Michael, I've taken on six branches of the United States government. I'm not afraid of you. Well, then why are you swallowing, punk?
But it was, you know, I don't like risk takers, you know, these guys that are supposedly doing things dangerous with animals. And they always, it's always perspective. And I said, okay, there he is. He's getting a little too close for comfort.
And you know what?
I mean, the lion is in Delaware.
No one wants to say, you know, who's a risk taker? Steve Irwin.
Steve Irwin was a legitimate risk taker, and he never talked about it.
Right. Killed by a jellyfish. Hello, Don and Mike show.
You made Mike choke on his water.
Just kind of sad. It's a sad way to go.
He just switched into Craig Wilson too quickly.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
Killed by a jellyfish boy. And jellyfish go bad. And jellyfish go wild. Hello, Donna Maisha. But hi to Bindi. Sweet little
you're
girl.
You're so right, though. Don't they all want to be Steve Irwin
they
now?
They do.
They all want to be Steve Irwin.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, talking about rounders, you forgot John Turturro.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? He's equally good in that. You're right, my friend.
Fantastic in that movie.
You know who else is good in that is the chick. She's pretty hot. The chick that Matt Damon is with and ends up losing in that entire fight. And Martin Landau is great as the professor in that thing.
Yeah, it's just so credible, too, as the law professor. Yeah. And who was the woman, though? It's like a blonde chick, right?
I don't know. She's good looking,
very
though.
Very
hot. Hey, here's Bindi.
For the first time ever, I got the head.
She, of course, talking about her dad.
Oh, dear.
For the first time ever, I got the head.
And she's got it on a stick. Her dad's head on a stick.
I mean, Steve Irwin could talk about how dangerous things were, because you were going to see him put his head in the mouth of the alligator.
The girl was Gretchen Moll, or Moll.
Hello.
M-O-L.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don,
yeah.
You were talking about those truck commercials that you saw?
Yes, sir.
If you pay the Toyota commercial, if you pay attention, those are the only truck commercials I've noticed that actually say actual demonstration in the corners of them. No other car commercial I ever noticed says that.
That's why I kind of dig those spots.
Very cool.
The others are
very cool.
It's going on what Mike said, what really is taking a risk.
Yeah, and I really think that when you have a show where all they're talking about is the potential of somebody being killed, which is what they say. I could plunge into this icy water and I could be killed. I could be eaten by the grizzly bear. You know it's not going to happen. It's just, well, then why are you yapping about it?
That's almost, well, this is a good lead into Jim Cantore. Because really, the hurricane, even though it's got a path of death and destruction, he's in a spot, he's right outside Cancun, where really nothing's going to happen.
Right.
So he's trying to make more out of it than it really, we've tooled on this guy before on the Weather Channel.
Yeah, they hype it. They can't help but hype it because they want you to think they're in the middle of, like, the storm surge.
Here's his big tease.
And as is typical of the case with a landfalling hurricane to our south, winds have gone from north-northeast to east and now just south of east. But the waves haven't gone anything but up. We'll talk to Dr. Lyons about why.
All right,
there
it is.
So he makes
There's
it sound,
the hype.
Right? Listen, he makes it sound like, oh, my God, I'm barely hanging on.
Right.
I'm Dan Ryder tying myself to a goddamn tree to do this report. Listen to this.
Puerto Aventuras. Now, this is where our storm tracker Jim Cantore is standing by. Conditions getting bad enough here that we've had some trouble connecting with him. Now it looks like we're able to. Yeah. Jim, our conditions.
He's so brave.
Where you're at.
Jim?
I would say we've kind of turned the corner
Good.
At this point. A couple things have happened. The ceilings have lifted a little bit. We've seen the cloud base, if you will, kind of raise. The winds have not been just persistent on shore.
He's so brave.
At times attempting to blow me over.
Oh, you see, I got fooled there. He said the ceiling has lifted. I thought he was talking about the ceiling in his motel.
No, hold on.
No, he's talking about the cloud ceiling.
He's going to talk here about some of the damage he's seen.
A little bit of shrinkage for the waves, and that's expected. I mean, we are 4.5 hours after landfall,
he's
and
talking about
the
his
winds,
penis.
Even up here, are not that strong to certainly support that size of wave for any kind of continued length of time.
Right,
but
Jim.
Let me show you around this resort here.
Okay, let's see some of the damage that the brave Jim Cantore sat through.
Let me show you. Let's get the camera to tour the Four Seasons.
I mean, this is
staying.
A huge resort. I mean, it would take you about 20 minutes to walk from one end of it all the way to the other one, and then if you were to walk back around, probably approaching an hour here. But this is, it's beautiful lagoons and courtyards like you see here, but unfortunately.
Creep doing like.
You'll notice that this is the undamaged courtyard that I'm standing. There's no damage here.
Doing like 8,000 curls in his too tight t-shirt.
But if you walk an hour away from here.
Fortunately, as this wash came in, this rise in the water, this wave setup, as Dr. Lyons was talking about, it just brought all that water in through here. And you can see some of these cabanas just getting hammered away. Just obviously a
cabanas.
Huge-
Right.
The cabanas aren't, excuse me, aren't cabanas kind of a temporary structure, really,
like,
in most cases?
It's like an outhouse made of bamboo.
Agitated. Western Caribbean rolling through here and just taking control of everything. We've seen damage to some of the buildings. So that means some of the actual cliffs that this place is set up on have been damaged. The
right.
rocks,
sure,
huge
buddy.
Chunks, huge boulders as big as I am. And we're talking about many.
Now, they're not showing any of these boulders that are as
He's
big as he
is. He's just talking about how scary dangerous it
many,
is.
Many cabanas that were down in Lagoon area.
Cabanas.
Yeah.
Changing rooms.
You'll see that a chaise lounge was actually picked up by a wave.
A kiosk was blown over.
It's completely wiped out, in some cases washed on out to sea. And where you would typically probably have a nice wedding, if you will, or do your vows, Heather, on some of these beautiful large cabanas out here.
Yeah, right over here I saw some cardboard boxes actually float on top of the water, and some of them were carried almost to the end of the pool.
Wow. Water for a good part of the morning has been washing right over the top of them. It's just starting to weaken now, and things are starting to get quieter. So looks like we've passed the peak point here. Back to you.
All right, thanks a lot, Jim. We want to find out more about those iguanas next time we check in with you.
Oh, what happened to the iguanas? Now I'm listening.
He has... They're showing video of iguanas that really look like if you went to a pet store and bought sea monkeys for your kids. Uh-huh. You know the tiny little iguanas, yeah. like they crawl out from under your deck?
Right.
He's making a big deal about there's four or five of them that have drowned.
I've seen them big, I've seen them small, and they look like they're just holding on. Back to you guys.
we got a break so we can talk to the guys from Hell's Kitchen.
Very good.
Then we'll come back with this. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.